Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Well, fellow adventurers, we are back with Sir Crokeyton. And after being going absolutely everywhere in the kingdom, and filling in all the quests that you find while just going everywhere, we've finally decided to continue the whole Wackner's Mad business. Where if you forgot, or maybe you've never listened to those episodes, which is quite likely really, Wackner's Mad is a very, very deep dungeon. And we've got all the way to level 40. You have to scroll back a bit to find that. That just listen to everything. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, we got to level 40, and we've got to do something so we can go even deeper. How much deeper? Nobody knows. But I think we met Nalistalislar, or something like that. Person we met from another version of the labyrinth on up to 56 or something like that, so we've got a long way to go. We can't even start doing that until we've done some things here. And this is it. This is how it begins. Orgo's Trail. In the fading light of day, the collapsed outer wall of the ancient temple, starkly silhouetted against the sky's endless grey, is a solemn, haunting image. Start the adventure. Several minutes ago, the sorceress bent down and examined the blood covering the stones at the edge of the stony track. The thick, dark liquid oozed between the pebbles and tufts of grass on the south side of the path. Blood was still relatively fresh. She stood up, looked to the east, and narrow eyes climbing the snaking trail. It wound its way up to the crumbling remains of the once formidable wall that crowned the hill's summit. Moving quietly along the track behind her, carefully making her own observations, was the sorceress's newfound companion, a likely but most welcome ally in the business. They had recently taken several sharp, unexpected turns. After a few moments, when the two were again abreast, Koroko turned and motioned towards the long and jagged line of toppled stone at the edge of the path. In the fading light of day, collapsed outer wall of the ancient temple, starkly silhouetted against the sky's endless grey, was a solemn, haunting image. He came this far, and I have to presume he's gone into the ruins. I wish we'd caught him at the crossroads. This now becomes a much more dangerous proposition. Koroto glanced at the woman at her side. It wasn't apparent whether or not she wished to simply gauge her companion's reaction to what she just said, or if she sought to garner solitary assurance of the daunting task to which she had just alluded. Before she could have any hope to discern any possible response, however, the sorceress turned her back upon the ruins. If Orgo had gone into the temple, as it was likely he was, he likely was by now near to death. She grimly envisioned the goblin curled up in some dark hole, bleeding, frightened, and arrogantly defiant, the miserable creature would still be clutching his cruel knife, she reasoned, his bony hands trembling as he waited for his chance. A single fleeting moment that delivered him even just a thin sliver of hope for exacting his swift and brutal revenge. She was suddenly, not for the first or last time, thankful for the woman standing at her side. Coratel could think of few things more dangerous and unpredictable than a wounded goblin. An assassin at that. And after glancing at her companion, she could think of no living soul whom she would rather face such peril. Of course, Coratel and her illustrious companion realized only too well, unless they found the goblin before dark, there'd be little chance they could ever catch him. Soon he found some way to overcome his wounds. Under the cover of night, Orgo would undoubtedly slip away into the wilds and vanish, perhaps forever, taking with him the only known hope of unlocking the lower levels of the labyrinth. So that's why we're seeking him. With that sobering thought foremost in their minds, the sorceress and her companion continued up the steep track as it climbed to meet the shattered husk of the ruined temple. And now, and the companion is Sir Croakington. Yeah, in case that wasn't obvious. As you climb the steep track leading up to Black Tor, the ruined temple of a long-forgotten faith, one of many such structures that still exists across the vast breadth of the North Borderlands, you glance over at Coratel. The sorceress's eyes are fixed straight again, scouring the crumbling remains of the temple's outer wall. Now, Black Tor apparently has more info. Black Tor is an ancient ruined temple located east of the village of High Meadow, in the Heart Hills of southwest Tysa. Like many of the ancient temple ruins that lie spread across the breadth of the North Borderlands, little is known about its history, including built the structure for her ultimate purpose it served. It might not even be a temple for all we know. It could be a community centre or a palace. It says temple, but are we sure it's a temple? Black Tor is said to contain a monument depicting a headless woman. Or if it is a temple, is it exclusively a temple? Is it some sort of temple palace, temple fortress, temple dormitory, temple bank, temple sports centre? Knows. Well, people have built it, but they're not around anymore. Black Tor is said to contain a monument depicting a headless woman. This particular image can also be found in several other ancient temples within this kingdom of Tysa. Okay, that's something to be sure. For the better part of the last 2 days, the two of you have been tracking the goblin assassin Noah's Uguro, through some of the harshest terrain to be found in this region of the kingdom. After a rendezvous with the goblin and his dozen followers in South Twelve Glen ended in a savage battle. A battle that nearly cost the wretched killer his life. Orgo took flight, slipping into the wilds, where he no doubt assumed he could easily shake your pursuit. Logo was wounded severely during the battle in Saltor Glen. A pair of well-placed blows, delivered by you in a devastating encounter to his attempt to slip your throat, came very close to killing him. As his goblin cohorts fled, presumably those I didn't already kill, leaving him bloodied, presumably at your mercy, Porto intervened, threatening the sinister assassination with immolation should he refuse to give up the location of her long hidden lair. The location has just served as the catalyst for the dangerous rendezvous. When you and Coratel arrived in South Twelve Glen, eager to swap a substantial amount of gold for the location of the hidden lair, a series of ancient tunnels that supposedly hold the key needed to unlock the lower levels of Wakanar's Mad. You were, not unexpectedly, ambushed by Urgo and a large group of some of his more detestable minions. In the immediate aftermath of the ambush, grievously wounded, still defiant, Urgo fled you, and you gave chase. Standing before the crumbling outer wall of Backdoor, Coratel tells you that it would be best for the two of you to split up and search the ruins for Urgo. She reminds you that without the location of the hidden lair, which Urgo can reveal, sending further into Wakanar's labyrinth may not be possible. The lair to which the goblin can direct us contains the means of unlocking the lowest levels of the maze, she says. I dare not think that all our efforts to this end now hinge upon finding the murderous little wretch. It would seem that they very well may. The sorceress falls silent for a moment, as if suddenly lost in thought. Suddenly, she nods, as if having pulled a decision from amongst a tangle of conflicting thoughts. There is a statue in the northeast corner of the temple grounds, she said. It is a statue of a headless woman. I've seen it before, Sir Crokington. It may surprise you. This won't be my first trip into Black Tor. Make for the statue as you conduct your search. Once you've reached it, turn around and make your way back here. I'll meet you here once I've completed my search. Coratel warns you not to underestimate the wounded goblin assassin. She tells you he may prove a far more dangerous foe in his desperate state. We cannot afford to tarry, she says, glancing nervously at the grimly silhouetted ruins that crown the hill's stony summit. If he's not dead, darkness falls. He'll slip into the night and we'll likely never see him again. Until one far-off day, we find his blade at our throats. I'd much prefer to deal with him here and now. You wholeheartedly agree with that sobering statement. Coratel meets you in a shoulder cross, and then points to a wide breach in the crumbling outer wall of the ruined temple. That opening should provide you with the most direct to the headless statue, she says. I'll find my way in over to the west. Good luck, Sir Crokington. Stay in your guard. I look forward to seeing you back here before nightfall, safe and sound. Remember to treat our savage friend nicely, at least until you've learned his little secret. Without another word, the sorceress turns and swiftly departs, moving west across the back of the stony hill, skirting the jagged walls of Black Tor. When at last Coratel rounds the southwestern edge of the outer wall and is lost from sight, you promptly turn your full attention to the daunting task at hand. Still nursing a deep bruise on your right side, a mark bestowed upon you by one of Urgo's cohorts, a wild star-faced goblin who paid for the blow with his blood. Prepare to enter the ruins to begin your search. With any luck, either you or Coratel will come upon Urgo somewhere in these ruins. I'll be able to glean from him the location of the hidden tunnels. Information he was supposed to have imparted to you back in South Todd Glen. For now, however, your immediate task is clear. Enter Black Tor. Make your way to the statue of the headless woman, somewhere in the northeast section of the ruined temple, and watch your back as you go. You're standing on a grassy, boulder-strewn track, a sloping ground at the top of a winding, stony path. To the north, crowning the hill, is the eerie spectre of the ruined temple of Black Tor. The crumbling outer wall still surrounds the temple grounds. Through sizable gaps now it exists in the once formidable barrier. It's here you agree to again meet up with Coratel. Once you've managed to complete your search for Urgo, by reaching the statue of the headless woman, somewhere in the northeast section of the ruins, Guessing it's just to get to there and get back again, you've been pretty much everywhere. Something like that. Head north, into the woods. Taking one last look around, you head north. Stepping through a broad gap in the crumbling outer wall as you make your way into the ruins of Blacktor. What happens if I leave the ruins? You head south, stepping through a broad gap in the crumbling outer wall as you make your way into the outer ruins. What if I wait here? You wait for some time at the edge of the boulder-strewn track just outside the crumbling outer wall of Blacktor, watchful for any sign of danger. And any sign of your famous companion. After a short while, having seen nothing stir in the immediate vicinity, you abandon your vigil, consider making your way back into the woods. You're standing just inside the southern edge grounds of the Ruined Temple. A narrow, meandering track snakes through the perilous maze of collapsed columns, heaps of rubble, and ancient timbers. And the half-buried monuments of a faith long since relegated to the forgotten pages of history. To the south, a broad gap in Blacktor's crumbling outer wall provides a direct path out of the ruins. Okay, I'm in the south side, sort of in the middle. Go north twice, in the fading light of day. Leavening shadows and an eerie silence like drape over the ruins of Blacktor. With your senses alert for the first sign of danger, you warily prowl the path that snakes through the crumbling remains of the ancient temple. I've went north too, now east is a little alcove. A tall mound of debris, including the shattered remains of two toppled pillars, rises up to a great height in this section of the ruined temple, standing atop the massive pile. You can clearly see beyond the temple's crumbling outer wall, including the steep track you ascended to arrive at Blacktor. A large amount of blood covers some of the flatter stones at the top of the pile, leading you to believe Orgo spent at least a few minutes here, perhaps observing your approach. Okay, you're rest. Suddenly, a large splattering of blood covers the ground here. You lean down and examine the blood and quickly determine it to be fresh. Maybe I even lick it a bit. Who knows? You're certain the blood is that of Orgo, the goblin assassin you've chased into these ancient ruins. The amount of blood spilled leads you to believe the wretched creature is very likely near to death. Spurred on by the gruesome but reassuring find, you promptly resume your trek along the path through the ruined temple grounds. Let's find Urgo quickly before he dies on his own. Suddenly, a deep rumble rises in the air. The ground shakes as a tall pile of debris at the edge of the path suddenly collapses, sending a deadly avalanche of stone and timbers surging towards you. So you can use fortification or just attempt to escape the deadly avalanche. Use fortification. You succeeded. You summon your power of fortification. Your adept use of your magical discipline in fortification has again served to protect you from harm. Having survived the deadly avalanche of stone and timber without sustaining injury, you cautiously survey your surroundings. A quick search of the immediate area, including the heap of rubble from which the falling debris originated, leads you to believe the avalanche was not a random event. You're certain that someone caused a deadly slide that came within an hour, heartbeat of ending your life. As you stand in the centre of the path, your every sense alert for the first sign of impending danger. You're overcome by the eerie, unshakable feeling you are being watched. Well, that was to be expected. Gradually, after nearly a minute, the feeling subsides. You decide to once again set off on your way, eager to complete your task and leave these ruins as quickly as possible. Okay, making my way to the southwest corner. little nears. There's a near circle. I'm going round. Suddenly, a large splinter of blood covers the ground here. You lean down and examine the blood, quickly determine it to be fresh. You're certain the blood is that of Orgo, the goblin assassin you've chased into these ancient ruins. The amount of blood spilled here leads you to believe the wretched creature is very likely near to death. Spurred on by the gruesome but reassuring find, you promptly resume your trek along the path through the ruined temple grounds. Okay, I'm in a little corner. But not the corner. Okay. Making my way to the southwest side. There's another alcove. Pointing south. Piled behind a heap of scattered stone, split into timbers, you just go for a small collection of items. Alright, this is just generic loot. What it is doesn't actually mean anything. Also find 19 gold and 3 trinkets worth 14 gold. Making 33 gold. And like with all these random loot piles, when you leave, they mysteriously disappear. Don't know why, they just do. Maybe I just have a very sneaky thief behind me. Or maybe I get distracted and eat them all. Confident you haven't overlooked anything, you quickly check your gear before once again setting off on your way. Alright, going west a bit more to another alcove. Piled behind a heap of shattered stone and splintered timber, you discover a small collection of items. Most of them are trash. 10 gold. 6 of it in the form of a trinket. Confidently haven't overlooked anything, you quickly check your gear for once again setting off on your way. Now for the actual southwest corner, which is sort of off on a little passage. And here it is. There's a question mark here. A towering statue of a plate-clad figure rises out of the heap of the rubble here. The massive sculpture, its left arm raising a sword, and its white hand grasping a rusted iron lantern, appears to be extending towards the centre of the temple ruins. And that probably means something. I kind of forgot what it means, though, because it's been a while since I've done this adventure. Even though I've done it about half a dozen times. Alright, and now on the western side, the alcove here. Another pile of items. Not that good items, but 53 gold, 12 in a trinket. What is this trinket? Maybe it's a tiny bronze horse. Perhaps or something like that. Who knows? Confident you haven't overlooked anything, you quickly check over your gear before once again setting off on your way. Alright, making my way north along the western side. Suddenly, a large splatter of blood covers the ground here. You lean down and examine the blood, quickly determine it to be fresh. You're certain the blood is that of Orgo, the goblin assassin you've chased into these ancient ruins. The amount of blood spilled here leads you to believe the wretched creature is very likely near to death. Spurred on by the gruesome but reassuring find, you promptly resume your trek along the path through the ruined temple grounds. And piled behind a heap of scattered stone and splintered timbers, discovered a small collection of items, scale gauntlets and blanded greaves. They'll sell for a bit. Alright, am I going to run out of space first? Or am I going to run out of items to steal? We shall see. Well, I've definitely got some things. I've got a few things I could drop first. Its sturdy two-handed sword has a very poor encumbrance-to-value ratio. So I'll probably drop that first. Oh, and 12 gold as well. Confidently haven't overlooked anything. You quickly check over your gear. Once again, setting off and on your way. Keep going north and then west. More items. Yeah, this is just a random loot drop. So some of the loot is fairly nice. And 8 gold. And then one more. Going north again. Heap of items. There. And 4 gold. Okay. That is... That's a little series of alcoves in... Well, 4 alcoves going along the western side done. Right, now I'm going east a bit. Suddenly, a large splattering of blood covers the ground here. You lean down and examine the blood and quickly determine it to be fresh. You examine the blood. You're certain the blood is that of Orgo, the goblin assassin you've chased into these ancient woods. The amount of blood spilled here leads you to believe the wretched creature is very likely near to death. Now, the game never actually specifies the blood is wet. I mean, possibly, but this is a goblin. Maybe goblins bleed a different colour. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's not even consistent. Spurred on by the gruesome but reassuring find, you promptly resume your trek along the path through the ruined temple grounds. Okay, there's something to the south. A long engraved stone wad lies along the edge of the path in this section of the ruined temple. A shallow iron cup is affixed to the end of a stone wad. You immediately realise it should be some sort of ceremonial torch. Oh, I'll take it. No reason why, but the option's there, so I will. Believing the torch may prove to be of some use, decide to take it with you. I have a ceremonial stone torch. A shallow iron cup is affixed to the end of a long, thin, engraved stone wad. This ornate instrument is obviously some sort of ceremonial torch. I guess we shall soon see exactly what it does. Alright, and a bit northwest of there, right, northeast, is another two alcoves. One to the north. I've gone, look on northeast now, is alcove to the north, and alcove to the east. The northern alcove. A square stone basin protrudes from one of the intact walls in this section of the ruined temple. Several engravings of a robed headless figure adorn its raised edge. Small bits of debris cover the bottom of the empty basin. And east, a square stone basin protrudes from one of the intact walls in this section of the ruined temple. Several engravings of a robed headless figure adorn its raised edge. Small pieces of debris cover the bottom of the empty basin. Alright, they're both the same, so... Suddenly, a deep rumble rises into the air as the ground shakes, as a tall pile of debris at the edge of the path suddenly collapses, sending a deadly avalanche of stone and timbers hurtling towards you. Okay, fortification, or just get away. Fortification. You summon your power of fortification. Your masterful summoning of the power of fortification has once again served to defend you. Now that is a bit... That's not a particularly interesting way of describing it. It defended you. Now, presumably, I've raised like a triangly, a wedge-shaped fortification barrier. And it causes the avalanche of rubble to just part around me, like a Moses at the Red Sea, or something like that. Yeah. And then I just, you know, have some modest piles of rubble on each side of me, And being a toad, I just swing over them, easy peasy. Having survived a deadly avalanche of stone and timber without sustaining injury, you cautiously survey your surroundings. A quick search of the immediate area, including the heap of rubble from which the falling debris originated, leads you to believe the avalanche was not a random event. You're certain that someone caused the deadly slide that came within a heartbeat of ending your life. As you stand in the centre of the path, every sense alert for the first sign of impending danger, you're overcome by the eerie, unshakable feeling you're being watched. Gradually, after nearly a minute, the feeling subsides, and you decide to once again set off on your way, eager to complete your task. Leave these wounds as quickly as possible. Okay, I'm making my way southeast. Oh, it's another one of those splatterings of blood. It's described exactly like the other splatterings of blood. I think I've read them enough that you won't really gain anything if I read it again. Okay, kind of making my way vaguely east. Some sort of internet thing. Oh, another splattering of blood. Alright, I'm almost north of where we started. Here's another alcove. A stone disc, nearly 6 feet in diameter, rests on a circular iron base in the middle of this rubble-strewn dead end. An iron dial set into the middle of the disc to be turned to face one of eight symbols engraved upon round the edge. The eight symbols are a moon, a mountain, a star, a flame, a sword, a bird, a wolf, and a shield. The disc and its dial immediately conjure up, vivid with recollections of some of the things that you've seen while exploring Wackner's Labyrinth in Fogmore Forest. Okay. The dial is, currently pointing to engraving a wolf. What's that? No. Bird. With great effort, you manage to point the dial to an engraved image of the bird. Doesn't do anything. We're probably going to have to go somewhere, and that'll give us a clue what these do. Because that's kind of the rules in dungeons. Even though you can set up an incredibly complicated puzzle, and a system that will require a code that would be impossible to guess, you immediately give away in various spots exactly what the thing you're supposed to put down is. I guess it's just polite dungeon making, really. I mean, you don't want someone to go into your dungeon and not be able to find the treasure if they are worthy of it. I mean, they've got to be worthy. That's why you have all the monsters and the deadly traps. You don't want it to be just impossible to get. I mean, that'd be rude. All right, and a bit east of that. And it's another dial, just like the one we just passed to the west. This one is set to shield right now, and I'm going to set it to flame. With great effort, you manage to turn the dial to a point to the engraved image of the flame. Head back south. So what were the three symbols in Wackner's Mad? I'm going to look at the iron plate of dials. That will remind me. I should remember that, seeing as I've spent so long. Yeah. Oh, eyes, skull, and moon. Those are the three things. I remembered skull and moon, but I forgot about eye. Okay. Would this plate of dials affect this place? Alright, I'm going to set them all to moon, just in case. Maybe? Who knows? Who knows? Okay, and east a bit more. Another dial. All right, I'm going to set them all to moon. Because we've seen moon before. Right, and then southeast is another alcove. Right, set to moon. This needs to be four of these dials. In a woe, well, nearly a woe. West to east, moon, moon, moony, moony, moon. Is this what it's supposed to be? Who knows? Just a random notion. Doesn't seem to have done anything. I'll probably have to explore more to get a clue as to what to do. All right, it's suddenly a deep rumble rises to the air. The ground shakes as a tall pile of debris at the edge of the path suddenly collapses, sending a deadly avalanche of stone and timber surging towards you. Well, okay, we've used fortification before, and it wasn't that the most exciting use of it. We didn't play with it. It's just you used it. Yeah, well, he writes a lot. I can't expect him to go all out for everything. But, I mean, it could be more exciting. Right, I'm just going to dodge regularly now. Attempt to escape the deadly avalanche. You leap forward and attempt to just spring over all the falling debris before it can get you. Leap forward and a desperate bid to escape the deadly avalanche. Pick your number. Bonus of 40. 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck. Gotta get 75 or more or have a bad time. Pick now. 91. It's success. Your marker will display a speed and a jingly. You nimbly leap, twist and spin over the path of the deadly avalanche. The raging tide of stone and timber slams into a heap of rubble on the opposite side of the track, showering you with dust and debris. A quick search of the immediate area, including the heap of rubble from which the falling debris originated, leads you to believe the avalanche was not a random event. You're certain that someone caused a deadly slide that came within a heartbeat of ending your life. As you stand in the centre of the path, your every sense alert for the first sign of impending danger, you overcome an eerie, unmistakable feeling you're being watched. Gradually, the near...
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number? Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Nearly a minute, the feeling subsides. Sorry to once again set off on your way. Eager to complete your task, leave these ruins as quickly as possible. I mean, I'm presuming this is Orgo setting this all up. Unless there's someone else here. But I mean, he's the most obvious suspect, and really the only one that there is right now. I mean, it could be someone unexpected. It could be that this ruin that's fairly defensible, sort of vaguely near places you can rob, well hidden, could be randomly used by bandits. You know, just around, this will do. And maybe there's some nice stuff to steal here still. We'll have a look around a bit between wading caravans. Maybe that's it. Urgo is the number one suspect. Gradually, after nearly a minute, the feeling subsides and you decide to once again set off on your way. Eager to complete your task and leave these wounds as quickly as possible. All right, I'm pretty much north of, and directly north of the entrance, so that you have to turn around to get it. It's a question mark. A large scroll is engraved here. On an intact portion of the temple wall. The carved scroll bears a curious verse. Examine the verse on the carved scroll. You carefully read the verse carved onto the surface of the engraved scroll. Quote, by the light of the four, shall the darkest night be cast down. Okay, light of the four. Well, there's four things, so what's light? Flame, I guess? Whether I set them all to flame, but southeast of there, it's another avalanche. Fortification again, it succeeded, you don't even get any XP. It's just randomized. Could be. I suspect they're just not marked. The towering statue of a plate-clad figure rises out. Heap of rubble here, the massive sculpture, its left arm raising a sword and its right hand grasping a rusted iron lantern, appears to be staring towards the centre of the temple ruins. Now, if there's one in the southeast corner, one in the southwest corner, now, since most dungeons are symmetrical, there's probably going to be one in the northwest and the northeast corner. Some of the verse again. With the light of the four, shall darkest night be cast down. I guess that's the four. Alright. Can I use the ceremonial torch here to light the lantern? I haven't put the ceremonial torch on the recently used, but... Oh yeah, I've got to actually light the torch first. You know. Because it starts with some mystical, magical torch. Okay, I'm going to set all those dials to flame. Flame, western dial, second dial, flame. Does this do anything? I don't know. Should know. I've done this before, but well, there's a lot of stuff in Swift, and you're not going to remember all of it. Because it's millions of words, it kind of doesn't fit in the brain. Unless you're some sort of uber nerd or have some brainy thing going on. Oh, another splattering of blood. Describe the same as all the other splatterings of blood. Oh, another avalanche. Attempt to escape. You leap forward in a desperate bid to escape the deadly avalanche. Picking a number. Bonus of 40. 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck. Gonna get 75 or more. 46. Failure. I mean, it's not good, but it's interesting. Your agonized cries echo through the ruins as the deadly avalanche of stone and timber slams into you, crushing up. You up against a pile of rubble on the opposite side of the path. And since Sir Croakington is very small, a little bit, but she just springs out pretty quickly. I also lost 7 stamina points. Despite having been severely battered, well, I wouldn't say severely, needlessly battered. It's only 11 stamina points. That's not even devastating, even at the start of the game, where you have about 30. Stamina points. I mean, guess if you deliberately rolled a terrible character, we can get lower. In most circles, it's going to be pretty rare to find a character Well, 11 stamina points is even a third of their health. So it's a sort you, it's a thing you sort of thing you can jump, you can recover from easily enough. Even I mean, if you don't have restoration magic, it's gonna slowly wear you down. Well, I mean, if you do have restoration magic, it's gonna slowly wear you down, just a lot more slowly, because eventually you'll run out of Neville reserve. A lot quicker when this first came out, but eventually, despite having been severely battered and bloodied by the falling debris, you managed to climb out of the heap and move back onto the track you've been following. A quick search of the immediate area, including the heap of rubble from which the falling debris originated, leads you to believe the avenue. Yeah, it's the same text as after all the other avalanches. That's a lot of avalanches. I'm filling in some gaps in the map which I haven't explored yet. Because once you've explored an area, you get little footsteps on the map. Thought this up before, but all right. And here's the basins. All right, I'm making my way towards the more northwesty corner. Oh, another pile of debris on the western side in an alcove that goes south. Take some loot and 27 gold. It all adds up. All right, northwest corner. A towering statue of a plate-clad figure rises out of a heap of rubble here. The massive sculpture, its left arm raising a sword, its white hand grasping a rusted iron lantern, appears to be staring towards the center of the temple ruins. Yep, as we suspected. There's one in the other corners as well. We're not 100% sure there's one in the northeast corner, but probably. Because dungeon makers like symmetry. And of course, this wasn't originally a dungeon, this was a temple. So presumably, it was very symmetrical back then because people just do that with temples, make them all semi-symmetrical. I mean, if something is to be holy, it might as well also be beautiful. In fact, that probably really helps if it's also beautiful. I mean, like, Parthenon, symmetrical. Churches, symmetrical. No, I'm not really that familiar with other words. Oh, another splattering of blood. Or goes blood. There's a lot of blood. Or maybe it just looks, or maybe it just looks like a lot more blood than it is when it's all splattered out. You know, like when you get a nosebleed in the night and it covers the entire pillow, even though it's only a few drops. Yeah, so I think blood spreads out a lot, so it looks like a lot more than it is. And anyhow, time to explore the, well, close to the northeastern corner. Another pile of stuff. Oh, item is too heavy now. Time to drop the two-handed sword. And pick up the other thing. Quite a bit of loot in this adventure. I went 43 gold as well. Okay. Keep exploring. Here's a something's happened. Picking a number. Bonus of 60. 40 from fee 3, 10 from aura, 10 from luck. Gotta get 75 or more. Pick now. 114 success. 32 experience to fee 3. Your expert's eye certainly spots the telltale signs of a well-laid trap. At the edge of the path, hidden behind a small pile of rubble, you discover the thin, sturdy length of wood bent into an arc. A dagger is attached to the end of a makeshift pole, We just spring out and stab anyone unwary enough to walk into the deadly snare. A taut piece of string, a trap's trigger, spans the path before you, barely an inch above the ground. You instantly recognise the work of a master trap player. If you've little doubt, the goblin assassin you've chased into these woods has laid a snare in an attempt to put an untimely end to your doggy pursuit. With relative ease, you disarm the trap, clearing the way for you to safely continue along the path. The dagger that was to serve as the snare's deadly payload is in good condition. I consider taking it before you move on. It's just a common dagger. Not worth much. Just leave it be. Okay. I'm sort of in the eastern part. Another splattering of blood. So Orgo must be in a bad shape with all these blood spatters around. Alright, I'm now at a south pointing alcove. A massive iron bowl, pitted and rusted, rests on a block of stone in the centre of this small, rubble-filled courtyard. Four engraved flames adorn the front of the stone block. A tall, spectral flame hovers directly above the centre of the bowl. The flickering crimson flame emits no heat. We use an item here. Probably the ceremonial stone torch. Yes, it is. 128 experience to general. You place the end of the ceremonial torch into the spectral flame. A sudden flare of crimson light envelops the iron bowl affixed to the end of the torch. When the light fades, you withdraw the torch, only to discover a ghostly red flame now fills the iron cup. Stone cup torch is now lit. Alright. That will probably come in handy for lighting something. Oh, another avalanche. Use fortification again. A look at the stuff. And yes, it was triggered in some way. Okay, keep going east. It's the same check we just had before with the dagger and the string. Success with 137, 32 XP to general. Your expert eye certainly spots the telltale signs of a well-laid trap. The edge of the path, hidden behind a small pile of rubble, is covered with a thin, sturdy length of wood bent into an arc. A dagger was detached to the end of a makeshift pole, ready to spring out and stab anyone unwary enough to walk into this deadly snare. A taut piece of string, the trap's trigger, spans the path before you, barely an inch above the ground. You instantly recognise the work of a master trap player. You have little doubt the goblin assassin you've chased into these ruins has laid this snare in an attempt to put an untimely end to your doggy pursuit. With relative ease, you disarm the trap, clearing the way for you to safely continue along the path. The dagger was to serve as the snare's deadly payload is in good condition. You consider taking it before moving on. I won't. Okay. I'm going sort of a splattering of blood, sort of southwesty. Another alcove pointing south. The top of fragmented remains of a large stone idol lie heaped at the edge of the sphere. Despite having been shattered into many, many pieces, you wonder if you might be able to reconstruct this ancient monument. Well, if you're offering to reconstruct the shattered idol. You set about the exacting and arduous task of attempting to pierce together the shattered idol, picking a number. Bonus of 69. 20 from mind, 20 from spirit. 10 from 20 from mind, 10 from spirit, 20 from aura, 19 from lore. 20 from Arcania. 100 or more, pick now. 164, success. After several failed attempts, you finally discover the necessary sequence by which to pierce together the shattered idol. You slide the last chunk of stone into place and step back to look at the restored idol in its entirety. The ancient monument, missing only a few of its many pieces, vaguely resembles a face divided down the middle. The left half of the face is twisted into a hideous skull, while the white side bears a solemn expression.
Are we sure we've seen something like that?
Wait, have we? Amulet. Yeah, the two-face amulet. Yeah, I think we encountered that. That's somewhere in Wacknoz Mad. So, okay. Whoever these people are, they use quite a few of the symbols that are used in Wacknoz Mad. Soon, perhaps, Wacknoz was part of which of this cult, I guess. Or at least heavily interested in it. The left half of the face is twisted into hideous skull, while the right side bears a solemn expression. The large stone idol was stored, lies at the edge of the path here. The vague monument, missing only a few of its many pieces, vaguely resembles a face divided down the middle. The left half, that's what it was before. Alright, making my way to the east side and then going south. It's truck check. Now, it's another one of those daggers that's just spoying into me, but it shall not spoing. Instead, I get 32 experience to thievery, and I am and the only one who's going to be spoinging is me. Spoing. As you step into a broad, debris-filled courtyard at the end of the narrow path, your eyes are drawn to an imposing statue. Far end of the rubble-strewn expanse, the towering headless sculpture depicting a robed woman with her long arms outstretched to the east is an eerie sight in the deepening gloom now invades the ruins. You realize you've reached the spot spoken of by Coratel. According to the plan upon which you and the sorceress agreed, you now have to turn back and head out of the ruins to the rendezvous with her outside the temple. Yeah, okay, I guess to get here, we'd have to explore most places. Because it's sort of in a twisty passage, she's been here before, so you know about that. You've yet to lay your eyes on Olga. Suddenly, a low moan from the direction of the headless statue startles you, causing your heart to skip a beat. You spin to look for the source of the unexpected sound. And your eyes immediately descend upon a sight that previously escaped your notice. Slumped up against the base of the massive statue, partially concealed by a small heap of rubble, is the bloodied, trembling body of a leather-clad goblin. You instantly recognize Orgo. The goblin assassin you and Coratel have been pursuing since the ill-fated rendezvous at Southtrod Glen. The goblin, his scarred tunic soaked with blood, slowly raises his head and turns towards you. You move closer to him, wary for any sign of sudden movement from the notorious killer. Urgo, his limbs shaking violently, manages a weak grin. It's obvious that he is near to death. Kill me, or leave me to die in what small peace I may find here. He says. His manner of speech quite removed from that you've come to expect from goblins at large. You recall having been taken aback by his verbal prowess at your first meeting. It was, after all, your sting that is to be my undoing. I don't think I fault you for dealing me that blow. I would have fixed you in the same way that I struck first. Well done. In spite of all of what it has come to mean. You draw to within a few yards of Orgo and stop, unwilling to get too close to the goblin, lest he be attempting to lure you to in striking distance. You've nothing to fear from me, he says, as if he senses your deliberate hesitation. Then, I don't think you ever had anything to fear from me. You are not, however, out of all danger. You best mind the one with whom you share your excursion. She is the true demon after all, and will turn on you at the end of whatever business finds you in her employ. Well, yeah, but I do need her until then. so I'm going to put up with it. Do not think for a moment that she considers you anything but a convenient means to her ends. I've known her long enough to know the blackness of that heart. Also, you're an assassin and a goblin, so... I don't know, you could be lying. Fill you know, quiet to sow discord, you know, just for no particular reason. I don't know, revenge. I mean, you know you can't, you know, kill me, because you tried that. But you can drive me apart from a really good ally that I've got. Or at least I think I have. Alas, sensing Urgo is no longer a threat, you step forward towards the dying goblin. Ask him what he means with regard to Coratel. Just trust what I have told you, he said. There are no less than 4 parties keen to acquire and make use of your special talents. It's all to do with that rotten maze. Let's see, those parties. Let's see, Coratel, she has her own ambitions. Woundskin, he's been trying to acquire me for ages. I see the Grey Circle. I mean, the major part of the Grey Circle. Gnoras. That's 4 I can think of. There might be more. Maybe he doesn't know all of them. Because, honestly, this maze is just so powerful that it just gnaws in everyone. It's all to do with that rotten maze. I know this because I've been approached by 3 of those parties. You need only imagine what role they sought me to assume in the business. Mine was to be the last face you saw before your death. For now, as we have it, the expected roles have been reversed. It is, after all, the way these sort of things often turn out. Realising Urgo has just told you he was hired to kill you at some point, you immediately ask him who it was that ultimately acquired his surface. And when he was supposed to make an attempt on your life. The goblin, his limbs trembling violently, refused to tell you who it was that hired him. He defiantly states that even facing imminent death, he will not reveal his paymaster. So he has an honour. It's a strange honour, and it's an honour that I would not subscribe to myself, what with all the killing and all, but it's a form of honour. Count you'll find out that bit on your own, he says. His voice much weaker than it was even just a few moments ago. I've also no doubt that you will accept your revenge, as will be your right. Listen to me before it's too late. I'll tell you about the hidden lair. You came to me seeking in the glen. It's the bargain you made with sorceress. And despite all this, I will see my end. She bowed. In his ever-weakening voice, Urgo reveals to you the location of the long-hidden tunnels. The information you and Coratel had sought from him in South Tor Glen. Much to your surprise, the location he describes is in the Heart House, maybe a few miles south of the village of High Meadow. Very convenient. You commit to your memory the location Urgo details. Did the sorceress tell you to find the statue, Urgo asks? It's an odd question, catching off guard. It's no coincidence I ended up here. I'm well versed in the law of this world. This isn't the first time I've been to Blacklaw. Until today, however, I've made a point of avoiding this place. Even today, I have not turned my eyes upon that statue. You see, Sir Crokington, by looking upon the headless lady, you unroots. A deepening sense of despair creeps up over you as Urgo explains. You are now likely trapped in the ruins, held prisoner by the ancient curse of Blacktor. Curse long ago. Long ago laid upon the temple by its keepers. Before they forever abandoned this fortified post of their fallen faith. I guess that was just some last strike at whoever it was that was going after them. But Blacktor fell to its enemies, says Orgo. Those who managed to escape with their lives enacted the curse they had created to protect the temple and its secrets. Anyone gazing upon the statue of their headless lady would raise the dead within the coves beneath the temple. And the dead would slay the defilers. We, Sir Crokington, are the defilers. And you may be certain the dead have risen. Perhaps now you will find it curious. Your supposed Alch would send you in search of this statue. The very catalyst of the curse. It's odd, but maybe I could have a talk with her. She could explain. Maybe. I mean, I guess I'm just so desperate for allies. Maybe I'm just taking anyone. Your mind races as your thoughts churn over a thousand dark and unsettling possibilities. Well, you'll have no reason to trust anything the dying goblin assassin has told you. His words fill you with a profound sense of dread. Orgo's trembling limbs suddenly become still, and a thin streak of blood trickles from the corner of his mouth. He looks up at you, and he slowly and unsteadily rises to his feet. Kill me, he says, taking a position in front of you, his arms spread wide. Orgo repeats his request, swallowing hard as a stream of blood spilling from the corner of his mouth thickens. Kill me, Sir Crokington, here and now. Or I will go and find death on my own. I doubt it will prove difficult to do so. Quickly, if you value your life, you will end mine now and find your way out of these ruins before Blacktor's wizard finds you. Kill me! The goblin, his arms stretched wide, closes his eyes. His entire body trembles as he waits to receive the killing blow. Apparently, this is a fateful decision. Inexplicably, you feel your destiny may in some way be linked to the choice you're about to make. But somehow this will affect things. Maybe not for a long while, maybe soon. You know what? Kill him as he is requesting. With your heart pounding, you deliver Orgo a single decisive blow. The goblin assassin slumps to the ground dead. Despite his fearsome, murderous legacy, the moments directly following the goblin assassin's death are solemn. A strange mix of relief and sadness washes over you as you stare down at the lifeless, bloodied body of Orga. In some inexplicable way, as if the old ways of the world have just forcefully retreated in the face of the new. As if a long-standing epoch has finally passed, never to be recalled. You stand silently over Orgo's body for nearly a minute, before promptly resolving to set off and make your way out of the ruins. Before moving away, you make a search through Orgo's body, and your search turns up only his two weapons, a dagger and a short sword. Use the other weapons in those traps. These are mundane weapons, but they are unmatched, so I will take them. A small bag of gold, a small bag attached to his fraying robe belt, discover a large quantity of gold. 143 gold. In his left hand, you find a charred wooden wing. Believing the wing must have some value or importance, you immediately take possession of it. It's an unidentified charred wooden wing. We'll be identifying that later. You took this charred wooden wing of the Finger of Orgro, the goblin assassin whose life of cruel malice came to an end within the ruins of the ancient temple of Blacktor. At last, certainly you haven't missed anything. You step away from Orgo's body, once again prepare to set off, eager to find your way out of these ruins. The imposing, headless statue of a world woman, her long arms outstretched to you, stands in the far end of this wobble-strewn courtyard, and I'm looking at it again. Probably shouldn't do that. The towering sculpture is an eerie sight in this deepening gloom of dust that now invades the ruins. The bloodied corpse of Orgo lies at the foot of the statue, vividly recall your encounter with the wedged creature. Okay. Now I've got to somehow make my way out of Blacktor. Now, we've already passed an hour here, so I'm going to stop now. And in the next episode, we'll find our way out. And presumably solve that puzzle that will somehow involve the ceremonial torch, those statues in the corners, probably those basins. And it looks like a lot of undead along the way. But anyway, that will be for the next episode. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.